Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 11 or 12 minutes, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. We're looking at tough topics in the Bible and the Christian life. Today's tough topic is divorce. The Bible passage for this episode is Matthew 19, 3 to 9. I'll read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" He answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, 'Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery." In addition to writing two men's devotionals, Daily Strength for Men and 52 Weeks of Strength for Men, I've written dozens of articles for online Christian publications. These articles have covered a broad range of subjects, but the articles on divorce have generated the most feedback, most of it in emails. The typical email I receive is from a Christian man who's been through a divorce and read one of my articles on divorce. He tells me the following. He didn't want the divorce. He did everything he could to keep the marriage together. The divorce has been very difficult for him. Now that he's divorced, he feels ostracized from his church and the people there whom he used to consider his friends. Feeling stigmatized by your church is a big deal to a Christian man. My research indicates that 80 to 90% of Christian men leave their local church after getting a divorce. Most churches already face a shortage of men, with women accounting for 60% or more of typical worship attendance. So why do churches seem to go out of their way to alienate men who are recently divorced? Church leaders will respond that they simply are following and applying biblical principles. After all, a good husband loves his wife as commanded in Ephesians 5, 25 to 30. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. If a marriage fails, and especially if the wife initiates the divorce, then those are seen as evidence that the husband failed to fulfill his Ephesians 5 responsibility. Also, there often is an assumption that the husband was unfaithful and unrepentant about it. After all, didn't Jesus say that divorce is allowed only in the case of unrepentant adultery? Mike Hatch and I asked biblical scholar David Instone Brewer about that. Before he was a researcher for Tyndale House, Instone Brewer was a Baptist pastor. One day he was approached by a couple who wanted to get married.
One of the first things that happens as I'm in the church is this couple come along and they say, "Oh, we want to get married in your church. You know, it's a really pretty church. We want to get married in it." And I go, "Well, yeah, it's not that pretty. Why do you really want to get married in our church?" Then it comes out, "Oh, well, actually, I'm divorced and I can't get married in my church." Then the man pipes up and he's really angry. He says, "Look, my priest says to me, I murdered my previous wife, then I could marry another one. But I can't marry another one because my previous wife's still alive." I didn't know what to say to them because Jesus says, well, you can't get divorced in the first place, except perhaps for adultery. And if you get remarried, then that is adultery. So I didn't know what to say to them.
But Instone Brewer, who had been pursuing a PhD in what first century rabbis taught, began to think about what those rabbis and others in the first century would have thought about what Jesus said about divorce. Instone Brewer realized that Jesus had been answering a very specific question from the Pharisees.
They come to him and they say, "Can you divorce your wife for any cause?" And I thought, hang on, there was a divorce in the first century called an any cause divorce. But they're not asking Jesus, is there any reason why we can get divorced? They're saying, can we get divorced for the any cause divorce? That divorce was used by pretty much every Jew by the time of Jesus. It was something that was invented a few decades before Jesus' ministry started. They went to Deuteronomy 24:1, you know, where it says you can divorce your wife for a cause of indecency. That's what it says literally in the Hebrew. And the Pharisees, they said, well, indecency, that's sexual indecency, you know, adultery. So you can get divorced for adultery. But this word cause, that must be something else completely different. And it doesn't say what sort of cause it is. So it must be just any cause.
The Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus by asking him to weigh in on the any-cause divorce. Jesus' response was very direct and very clear. The any-cause divorce was a terrible interpretation of Deuteronomy 24:1. Men couldn't get a divorce for just any cause. They had to have a lawful cause. Men who used the any-cause divorce to end their marriages really weren't divorced. And if they got remarried, then they were committing adultery because they were still married to their previous wife. Instone Brewer argues that Jesus not only defended the true meaning of Deuteronomy 24:1, but also accepted what the rest of the Old Testament taught on divorce. So, what was a valid or lawful cause for divorce? According to the law in the book of Exodus, everyone has three rights within marriage. The rights to food, clothing, and love. Even today, we see these in Christian marriage vows to love, honor, and keep. Paul taught the same thing in 1 Corinthians 7. Married couples owe each other love and material support. If these rights are neglected, the wronged spouse has the right to seek a divorce. Abuse, an extreme form of neglect, also is grounds for divorce. So the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is consistent in its treatment of divorce. God allows for divorce and subsequent remarriage in some cases when marriage vows are broken. Divorce among U.S. Christians is about as common as in the general population. For some of these divorces, there is a valid biblical reason for the divorce. But for some, there is not. In an era of no-fault divorce in every state, a healthy marriage takes the cooperation of two people, but a divorce takes the actions of just one. And having valid grounds for divorce does not mean that you should divorce. God hates divorce, and for good reason. It can be devastating for all involved, and the negative effects can last for years. In my opinion, we generally minimize the degree to which divorce can be devastating and even traumatic for Christian men. Going through a divorce is like having a bomb explode in your life. Everything is affected, including your hopes, your dreams, your plans, a large part of your identity, your role as a father, and other roles in your extended family, your relationships with family members, friends, coworkers, fellow churchgoers, and others, your finances, your physical health, your emotional health, including your self-esteem, confidence, and ability to focus at work and elsewhere, and your spiritual health. Worst of all, divorce breaks the covenant bond with your wife, the one who was to be your partner for life. In many cases, the one who was your trusted teammate now is your opponent. Your life is a mess, and suddenly you are on your own. Singer Jason Gray does a terrific job of describing how a recently divorced Christian man feels in his heart-wrenching song, "Death Without a Funeral," from the album, "Where the Light Gets In." Here's an excerpt.
see me, I'm still breathing. Though a million things have died inside of me, but there's no healing without grieving. No wonder why it's hard to rest in peace. One apple hadn't fallen with the leaves. As I reached up, I remembered how we both planted that tree. With one bite, I was surprised to find the fruit was still so sweet.
What a divorced man needs is another Christian man to walk beside him. Be that man for a brother who has experienced a death without a funeral. Next week, we'll look at the tough topic of equality. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.